morning. You're listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, April 15th, 2019. We have 19 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we've got some breezy conditions happening. South winds 5 to 10 knots becoming east in the late morning. Gusts to 15 knots early in the morning. And wind waves from the south about 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart. West swells 8 feet at 13 seconds. Chance of showers before sunrise, and then rain is going to be happening today. So it's going to be kind of windy and rainy out there. We have a surface low pressure system developing off the Oregon coast today. It's going to weaken and move inland. Brief high pressure returns by Tuesday afternoon, followed by a weakening front crossing on Wednesday morning. So when you see these weather systems just moving across our area one after another, that's pretty typical for us. Most of our weather comes to us from out in the ocean. And you'll see those wind direction shifts happening. Like today we have the wind starts out this morning from the south, moves around to the east in the late morning. That indicates that a spinning weather system is moving across our area. And today we're going to talk about sea speak. What is that and why is it important? Every industry has its jargon, and the maritime industry is no exception to that. But there's a way of speaking, especially on the radio, to make yourself heard that is called sea speak, and we're going to talk about that. But first of all, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 5 inbounders. We have 7 in the Astoria Anchorage and Rice Island Anchorage altogether. And we have 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river today was really early this morning. Into the Astoria Anchorage, the Priscilla Venture arrived from Japan. She got there at about 2:30 this morning. The research vessel Roger Revelle is arriving from San Diego. She passed Astoria around 4:30 a.m. and probably will get to Portland by about 10:30 a.m. She's going to the shipyard at Swan Island. So here is a research vessel. She's owned and operated by the Scripps Institute of Oceanography. And Institution of Oceanography. She is a research vessel. And we see a number of research vessels coming into the Columbia River for various reasons. Sometimes they come to Astoria. Sometimes they come to Portland. And usually when they're coming into Portland, what they're doing, in this case, going to the shipyard at Swan Island, could be two things or a combination thereof. She could be going there for maintenance and repairs. Every couple of years, a ship that is at sea frequently needs to be overhauled and maintained and checked for weaknesses, structural weaknesses, and things like that. Or she could be coming into Portland and going there instead of Astoria because she needs to be near a major city for some reason to change crews, to pick up a team of researchers. So the way that research vessels often work is that they're owned by a scientific institution of some kind, and they make themselves available for hire to teams of scientists who have research projects that are involved in oceanographic research. So a team of researchers will have a project, they'll apply for a certain amount of time and pay to be on the ship, and the ship will go out and be a platform for their research activities. So ships, research vessels like this typically have laboratories on board. They have meeting rooms, and they're like a laboratory at sea. And so that's what the Roger Revelle is. Now, often ships will come into the port of Astoria, and they'll do the same thing. They'll pick up supplies, they'll change crews, they'll change scientific crews. But one of the things that they have in Portland that they don't have here in Astoria is that shipyard that can handle repairs and maintenance. So anyway, interesting to see it's always interesting to see a research vessel come into the river. The Mettie Norfolk is arriving. She's a bulk carrier from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She could actually be a tanker picking up petroleum. I'm not sure there. But anyway, passing Astoria around 9 a.m., she could arrive in Vancouver by 3 p.m. If you see her going by and she has valves and pipes on deck, she's a tanker. If you see hatch covers, she's probably a dry bulk carrier. Next inbound is the Sagami. She's arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Vancouver, Washington. Could be petroleum tanker there, passing Astoria around 11:30 a.m., Vancouver by about 5:30 p.m. The TRF Kobe is arriving from Long Beach, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be there around midnight. Already in the Astoria anchorage, we have the Ogna, the Ipsy Colossus, and the Bali. They are awaiting orders off the downtown waterfront. And at the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, a little bit opposite Tongue Point, a little bit in upriver from Tongue Point on the Washington side of the river, the Peak Liberty, the BLC First, the Chris, and the BTG Rainier. And so just to be clear about that, ships can't just anchor wherever they want. There are designated, officially designated anchorages that are areas where the river usually is naturally deep and doesn't have to be dredged. And ships can wait there, but they can only wait in certain areas. There is an anchorage there off Rice Island. There's one off Astoria. There's one off of Longview, Kalama, and in between Vancouver and Portland in the Columbia River, there's another anchorage there. And sometimes you see ships anchored in a few other areas, but they're very specially designated as places where ships can stop. And our outbounders, the GMB Astoria, is leaving Vancouver, leaving around 1 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7 a.m. The Crimson Monarch leaving Vancouver with weed on board around noontime. She could pass Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. The Capitan Georgis is leaving Kalama with corn, soy, or weed on board. Leaving around 12:30 p.m., that would put her past Astoria around 5:30 p.m. The Harvest Leader is leaving Vancouver. She's a car carrier with Subarus on board. Heading out around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9. The Andromeda Leader is leaving Portland. Probably Toyota's on board there. She's another car carrier leaving about the same time. So they both could pass Astoria around 9 p.m., but they will be several miles apart on the river. They keep a really healthy distance between one another, between ships on the river. In case anything goes wrong, if a ship loses engine power or anything, it gives the ship that is upriver from it time to compensate if something goes wrong with the ship ahead of it. So they're real careful about that. The Daiwan Ace is leaving Longview with soda ash on board around 9 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 12:30 p.m., and the Saga, actually that would be 12:30 a.m., Tuesday morning. And the Saga Freya is leaving Vancouver around 11:30 p.m., could pass Astoria outbound around 5:30 a.m. on Tuesday. So ship traffic goes on 24/7. All around the world, sometime if you wake up, if you have insomnia, it might be comforting to think that there are ships operating anytime that you happen to be awake or asleep somewhere in the world. Well, today I want to talk to you about SeaSpeak. This is from an article I found at Maritime Executive Magazine, which is a really interesting industry publication. SeaSpeak is the official language of navigators the world over. Whether you're on the high seas or in port, misunderstood communication can lead to serious and even dangerous situations. SeaSpeak is the official language of the seas, and it helps to prevent miscommunication. Now, why is that? Why do you need something like that? Well, a lot of communication on ships goes over radio. There's static involved. It's hard to understand people. People have different native languages. Most of the mariners who come into the Columbia River live in other countries and speak other languages. Even on board ship, you can have a captain from one nationality and a crew from another, a first officer from another, and so they need some sort of common language where they can understand one another. In general, if there's a disparity between languages, they try to use English, but not everybody is terribly fluent in English. So this language, SeaSpeak, some jargon, helps people to understand one another. So to avoid that kind of confusion, in 1983, a group of linguists and shipping experts created a new system of communication called SeaSpeak. English was chosen as the principal lexicon for SeaSpeak because it was the most common language on ships, and it's also the language of civil aviation. In 1988, the International Maritime Organization, which sets international standards at sea, made SeaSpeak the official language of the seas. So it's the rules of talking on the radio. It means that if you say an example of SeaSpeak would be, if you were going to say the number 33, you would say 33, and the time 9:33 a.m. is spoken as 0933, which makes it really easy to understand over the radio. And another expression from SeaSpeak is called say again. If you don't understand something, you always ask the person to say it again. Some of the most important things that are said over the radio are and on bridges of ships are courses, which are numbers. So understanding numbers is also a very important part of understanding one another on a ship when your language might be different from one person to the next. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.